This is my job.
I explore the country looking for people who aren't afraid to get dirty.
Well, what are we putting a hole in the middle?
Nothing.
Oh.
Hard-working men and women who earn an honest living.
Yeah, I now work for you. You're my boss. You tell me what to do.
Only today, huh?
Maybe less.
Doing the kinds of jobs that make civilized life possible for the rest of us.
Now, get ready to get dirty.
Coming up on Dirty Jobs.
Well, we're going to shrink wrap a boat today.
That's what I heard. Why do you do that?
I take a pleasure cruise that's a pain in the butt.
I liked it at first, but it's kind of miserable.
Where freezing off my fanny.
I think I fell in the water a little bit.
And playing with fire.
Sure.
Are all just part of the job.
Uh-oh, that was close.
Then, reindeer. They may be Santa's little helpers.
Okay, a little help.
Yeesh!
But they can also kill you.
Perfect.
Up near the North Pole. Woo! I get some lessons in the care and feeding of these mythical creatures.
Just the part where you tell me they hate the color red?
Yeah, you know, that is right. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Kind of looks like New Jersey, doesn't it? Just on the other side of the Hudson River? It'd be reasonable to assume that because we're in Manhattan Harbor. But the thing is, Manhattan Harbor is not in Manhattan or in New York. It's in Dayton, Kentucky. Dayton, Kentucky was established in 1849. See? Back in 1849, it was cold in Dayton, Kentucky, and it's cold today. Here in Manhattan Harbor, I'm going to find a houseboat and wrap it up in plastic. I don't know why. I just know that we're not in New York, and it's cold.
So the Dirty Jobs producers told me to go see a shrink. It's only a matter of time, I suppose. So I found one. One that charges by the foot, not by the hour. And there's no lying down on a couch. The job is working for the Land and Sea Collection of Cincinnati, Ohio, just across the Ohio River from Dayton, Kentucky, shrink-wrapping a houseboat to protect it from harsh winter weather.
I'm not sure who these guys are, but I bet you're Mark.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Good.
Brian.
Kenny.
Tom.
Ron.
Alan.
Mark. Brian. Ron. Tom. Alan. Kenny. No, Ron. Kenny. Alan. Tom. Why is this called Manhattan?
I really don't know, but it's been a marina for about the past 20 years.
Why am I here?
Well, we're going to shrink wrap a boat today.
That's what I heard. Why do you do that?
Well, you do it to protect it against the element, not only the regular airborne, but we're on a path of a local airport to keep some jet fuel off of it.
What is it covered with, exactly?
Basically, a plastic-type material that will shrink to size, and we have to build a superstructure in it to keep all the water always flowing off of it as well, too.
Are you the boss in charge of the operation?
I own the company, but I know very little about what we do. They try to keep it that way.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, then. Why don't you stand behind it?
Tom, here's the one I can show you the most.
You're going to be sort of bossing me around?
That's going to be it.
Which one are we going to be working on?
We're going to do this one right here.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's a 42-foot tucker with a fly bridge on top. And when we get done with this one, we hope it kind of looks like that one.
How long would it take you normally?
Normally, our crew here would be 4 to 5 hours to do this boat from start to finish.
You realize it's going to take longer?
Yes.
Is this a dangerous job?
It can be.
Why is that?
First of all, on this thing right here, as soon as you climb aboard, this is a steel boat. You're going to find it is just absolutely slick as it can be. Of course, you're going to be using propane, okay, and an open flame. And then if we start to shrink from the inside, that torch burns a lot of oxygen. Next thing you know, you pass out, okay, so...
Really?
No.
I mean, come on. Yeah, this is, I guarantee you, my guys are going down.
Okay.
No doubt about it.
I may not be a fortune teller, but 3 minutes and 17 seconds later, it turned out I had seen the future.
Oh, jeez. So you used the camera to break your fall. That's a good one.
Oh, no.
This is our show. What do you think? I think it's going to be great.
We're already down two cameras. Doug's first one went down. We lost the tape. The second one won't fire up, so we're all... We might actually wind up using some of Dave's footage in this one.
Before we started wrapping, we had to remove items from the deck that would otherwise puncture the plastic when it shrinks.
Doug, just so you know, that's going to hit you in the head there. There you go.
Next thing we're going to do is we're going to make like a tent across the top. And these right here are going to be your center poles. And, of course, they're just go down to the middle. And then we use the webbing there. They call it banding, okay? Right. And we'll tie it off. And then we get that done, then we're going to have to
go right in the middle.
Do the bottom, right around the water's edge, okay?
Right. And this is just called banding, Tom?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You dancing or what? Same on the other side.
God. It's actually slippery and nice.
Yeah, it is.
We have to build a tent with a raised center in order for water to flow off the shrink wrap properly. If the boat was wrapped without a tent, the plastic would sag in places and collect water and possibly get punctured.
I feel like I'm in a Marx Brothers movie.
What is that?
Never seen that before, have you?
No.
Like that?
No.
It was a slip knot that slipped the wrong way.
Out of there. No such thing as too tight.
Hey, nothing, please.
That'll work.
What the hell did I do? Did I do that again?
Yep.
God darn it.
Down we go. One way or another.
Earlier, Tom's crew had tied looped pieces of webbing to the boat's handrail in order to hold the waistband, which we were about to put on.
Now you got to take this all the way around the whole boat.
Through all the holes.
Through all the holes.
This waistband is what will ultimately secure the wrapping onto the boat. It's not unlike the waistband on a pair of trousers, just a lot longer.
And just like that, I'm covered, the boys are covered, and we're about to cover a boat.
That's it. Yeah. You got
am I imagining things, or is it colder than it was moments
ago? It's colder. And yeah. The river's coming up. You got her, Ken?
What's this thing weigh, Ron?
107 pounds.
Super.
Of the boats that are kept in the water year-round, 40% are shrink-wrapped for winter. Once the plastic was draped on, we had to attach it to the waistband by tacking it down with a heat gun, starting at the back and working our way around.
All right. So is that like a heat gun?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Looks hot.
It's pretty hot. When you heat this plastic, you have to keep moving. It's just like spraying paint. You have to keep moving.
Right.
If you stop just for a second, you'll burn a hole in the plastic.
Okay. So it's that waistline that's right in between each side?
Yeah.
The whole works is just being fused together?
Yeah.
The shrink wrap has to be dry when the heat gun is used. Otherwise, where there's water, the gun will burn a hole through the plastic.
Hot.
Done on your left hand.
Hey, that's a great idea, because all the hair is gone off the wrist. You don't want to stay on it too long, because if you do, see there? That's bad. Don't tell anyone.
Coming up, I burn the midnight oil inside the plastic bubble.
It's a pain in the ass, huh? Honestly. It really is.
But there's one little hitch.
Uh-oh. I think I fused my ass to the deck.
After a little bit, I passed out.
Then... up in Santa Country.
Oh, now!
A case of mistaken identity.
Well, you look like an elf.
Leads to a beautiful friendship.
For God's sakes, man.
And a dirty job as well.
And you just shovel in the back? Of course. No, Mike. Don't shovel in the back. Put it in the cab. I guess we're getting to the point where the rest of it we get from a boat?
Yes, we're going to have to put the boat in the water.
In order to fasten the wrap to the waistband on the other half of this boat, we're going to have to take a ride in another, smaller boat. The water's not too deep, and we're only a few feet from the dock. But even so, by law, we have to carry life vests.
Oh, that's good, Doug. Yeah, you definitely want to stand. That's good.
A few weeks after we shot this story, Mother Nature showed why it's an important job. Kentucky was hit by severe ice storms that left 500,000 people without electricity, and parts of the state were declared to be disaster areas.
Whoa.
Uh-oh.
Oh, well, this is a little hole. It'd be bad for this to drip on me, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Oh. So how do you like it this far?
I'll tell you honestly, I liked it at first, but it's kind of miserable. I mean, I've totally destroyed my back. I think I've had some plastic melt in my hand. And I think I fell in the water a little bit.
Turns out I got more than a little bit wet. A lot more.
Give him a raise, man. Give him a raise.
Now the big guys.
Can we bring out the big heat and shrink this thing tight?
So you can't hardly see the flame when it's fast.
Right. But it's there.
So you got to kind of watch the plastic to see what you're doing.
Sure.
Ron tells me that shrinking the plastic from the outside is easy. The real challenge begins once we install this plastic door, crawl through, and start shrink wrapping from the inside.
I feel like I'm in a dream. I gotta tell you, man. I'm not even sure I woke up today. I'm wet, I'm cold. I think I just wrapped a boat in a condom and put a door in it. Just get weirder by the moment. Now I'm gonna go inside and do something with that. To the roof of it?
We're gonna go on the front deck.
All right. Okay.
On low. See, where right there is what you want. It starts doing that right there, then just keep moving. It's tightening up, you can tell, because it ain't moving as much.
Uh-huh.
See how tight that is over there? That's not flapping. Look at this. It's flapping.
Right. And they're doing the same thing on the outside as we are on the inside.
Except they got the big one. I'm just basically doing what he can't do. You probably are sucking the oxygen out of the air.
Yeah. So.
After a little bit, you'll pass out.
This little flamethrower is burning up the oxygen faster than it's coming in through the door I made. So I've got to pace myself with the work. Otherwise, it's quite possible I'll end up extinguishing myself along with the flame.
It's tight quarters there, Ron.
Yeah, I know. A gun gets heavy after a little bit, doesn't it?
It really does, you know, and you're wrapped up here like this giant burrito.
Yeah.
Can't move your arms. Freezing. Sweating. Stuck. I think I fused my ass to the deck. It's one of those jobs where you don't really know when you're done. I mean, to me, it looks like we're done. We have the shrink wrap on the boat. But we could do this a lot more. I could get back in the little boat again, do that more. I could slip and fall some more. We've made the point, right? Winter comes down here in the Ohio River in Kentucky. Wrap up your boats. That's what you do. Okay. Any questions? Good.
Tom, that is one unique environment.
Okay.
Really a pleasure. Thanks. Okay. I've never been inside of a wrapped boat.
You haven't? Okay.
How long is it going to take old Al there to finish?
Oh, probably about another half hour, 45 minutes.
All right. Well, I'd love to stick around, but I'm not going to.
But you got to go. Come back again.
Low center of gravity. Be careful, man. Water's absolute zero.
Coming up, I meet some of the most fabled creatures on Earth.
What makes reindeer different than just regular deer?
But for some strange reason, the fabled creatures don't want to meet me.
We're going to squeeze the reindeer, keep their heads sticking out. It's going to be great.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
We're done.
We're done?
It's another fiasco.
Look at me. Do I look dangerous in this thing?
You look very obvious.
Next.
I ask one more stupid question, I swear.
Alaska. It may not be the final frontier, but the extreme forces of nature here can make it one of the most forbidding. And the ferocity of Alaska's carnivorous wildlife strikes fear into the hearts of all who dare to cross her unforgiving wilderness. Today, Dirty Jobs comes face to face with a creature of mythic proportions that symbolizes the very essence of Alaska's mystery.
Yeah, that's a reindeer embroidered by hand on my crimson sweatshirt. Nice, huh? And check out the lid, also made by hand from a loyal viewer named Lorraine. Anyway, I've come to Palmer, Alaska today to learn all I can about reindeer and fashion. Haven't you heard? Red's the new black.
About 42 miles northeast of Anchorage, Alaska, you'll find the 60-acre Williams Reindeer Ranch, where about 130 reindeer frolic on the frozen tundra, along with assorted elk, moose, buffalo, and during tourist season, thousands of camera-toting looky-loos hoping to answer the age-old question, do reindeer really know how to fly?
I was told we'd all be wearing the red sweatshirts.
Well, we ran out.
Yeah, this is Tom, and this is Brett. And this is Jake, and this is your place.
It's the best I can do with a bunch of reindeer.
How many reindeer you got here?
Oh, I haven't counted for a couple of days, but I think there's about 130 or so.
You think some more showed up in the interim?
Well, you never know, you know. Sometimes they get born, sometimes they die. But no one's died all winter. It's been a strange winter.
With the conspicuous lack of death stalking the mountains here.
We used to have predators, but they get a disease when they come around here.
What's
that? Called lead poisoning.
Oh, I see what you're... Lead poisoning. You're talking about shooting things.
Yeah.
I got you.
You're not a predator, Mike. You
no,
can relax.
Look at me. Do I look dangerous in this thing?
You look very obvious.
You know what? I retract the question. I want to focus on reindeer. What are we going to do to them today?
Well, there's a group of them, a small group.
I mean, are they groups or are they herds?
I guess it's a herd of reindeer.
I'll call them gaggle if you want. I don't much care.
Reindeer is plural as well. It's improper to say reindeers. You're supposed to say deer if there's more than one. It's like moose. You don't say meese.
So it's one moose, two moose, 20 moose.
Yes.
What makes reindeer different than just regular deer?
They're the only deer that can live in the Arctic climate.
I mean, we're not in the Arctic Circle.
This is really hot place for them.
What are we going to do today? How can I help? I mean, I really just want to learn. I want to become one with the reindeers, the deer.
Well, you know, it's kind of tedious because every day we got to go feed them. And the first thing is to go out in the field and get some round bales, bring them up here, put them in the grinder.
Is he talking about hay?
Yes.
Round bales. Okay, right. Hay. Round bales of hay in there. All right.
And then out of this grain bin, we're going to get 6 or 8 buckets of grain. Brett here is an expert on our feeder.
So you and I are going to do grain? You and I do some hay?
You're going to do some hay. We're going to go out there and get the hay. We're going to come back and we're going to grind it up in the hay grinder right here.
What do you actually do? I mean, do you do work at all?
Well, I have 3 full-time jobs, feeding them and taking care of them all summer. And we have a tourist attraction here in the summer. And then I have a farm out at Point McKenzie where I make this hay. And I have a small office in Eagle River, which is 25 miles the other way.
What do you do in the small office?
I'm a lawyer.
Okay. Wrong show, Tom. Let's go get the hay.
All right,
do the buckets with the thing, and I'll see you later.
All right, sounds good.
You work for a lawyer?
Most people don't know it, but reindeer are actually domesticated caribou. Think of them as the cattle of the Arctic. Their hides are used for all kinds of clothing, pants and boots in particular. The shin bones are used for fish hooks and other interesting things. And they taste pretty good. Their meat is low in fat and high in protein. In fact, some of Tom's reindeer will end up as steaks and sausages. So tell the kids that this Christmas, along with visions of sugar plums dancing in their heads, they can also look forward to visions of sausages landing on their rooftops. Ho, ho, ho.
And this is what, about 1870?
Pretty close. There's a little screwdriver you're going to see up here now. I remember we said everything's kind of old, so... And then there's a little ignition thing right down there. Stick it in there. There you go. And pull this little lever out, right? There we go.
We're going that way?
We're going to be going down that way, yep. A lot of times when we drive up next to this, that elk right there will come up and charge the fence at us.
This guy?
His name's Eddie. He's a big ham in the summertime. He loves tourists. Well, Mike, we got all these hay bales right here in the middle. You can pretty much just pick whatever one you want. We can get her out. There you go.
Good.
Now let's see if we can go ahead and walk out with it. Let's go ahead and try to back up.
This was here and that was there.
Nice and slow. That way we get it up there no problem.
Yeah.
We'll pull right up next to that yellow bin there.
Is the idea to get this thing in the yellow tub?
Yes, sir. That's what it is. Right about there. Now go ahead and push that one forward and drop your bucket. It's going to drop right in here. And there it is.
Look at that.
Coming up, I wrangle rowdy reindeer.
I would like to say that I've never been hurt by a reindeer or a horse.
I'd like to say that, too, but I'd be lying.
Yeah, me, too.
And meet a reindeer rancher from Alabama.
Come on, man, what do you do with reindeer in Alabama, really?
We help sign out.
Uh-huh. You were just saying that because I'm dressed like a freaking elf.
Jake tells me they don't feed their reindeer just plain old hay. They grind it up for them first and later mix it with beer mash and nutrient pellets.
Going. We're probably gonna have to go up there and persuade it a little bit.
All right.
There you go. Whoop.
Don't go push it too far.
Yeah.
That's why you don't put your hands in there.
Now it's shooting out a bunch. That's what we want to do.
Oh, that looks like it's working.
Yep, now it's working. Now we're going to go inside there. We're going to start
evening
that stuff out to the wall and just kind of let this do its thing.
Gotcha.
As you can see, it starts piling up. Well, when it does this, it starts falling out that way. So we just kind of want to pull it back and even it out.
I think I get the idea.
Yeah, you definitely got the one-on-one on the hay grinding.
All right.
So I think we can shut this down and wrap this up, and we'll show you what it takes to feed them now.
Now we're actually going to feed reindeer.
Yes, sir.
After you.
We're going to come over here to our feed truck. As you can see, it's...
What the heck happened here, man? Isn't it time to seriously consider an upgrade?
I think it is, yeah. This thing has been pretty trustworthy until this morning.
What happened this morning?
Well, this morning the starter decided it didn't want to start it no more.
You jump it?
Well, we're probably going to pull you behind my black truck over there and pop the clutch and see if we can get her to fire off.
I'll sit here and prepare myself.
Alrighty.
Okay, I'm prepared.
Why we don't use the truck that seems to be running perfectly fine instead of the broken down bucket of bolts I'm sitting in is a mystery.
I've been in some crappy trucks. This is another one.
Alrighty.
I don't see what could possibly go wrong.
Go ahead.
Yeah, baby.
Right on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, listen to that thing purr. Like a kitty. So if it dies, we do this again.
We'll probably have to do it again, yes. It should stay running. Yeah, it sounds like it. The beer mash is up here in the garage, and we'll layer it in the bed of this truck. We'll throw in some beer mash, and we'll put in a layer of pellets. And we'll
so we got hay, we got pellets, and we got mash.
And mash, exactly how it goes.
And then we'll get to the reindeer.
You gotta wonder if feeding the animals a beer byproduct makes them somehow more entertaining for the tourists to watch. It'd be fun to see if we ever actually get to the feeding.
Tom, the truck's off.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's going to start without pulling it. We thought we had an ignition wire off, but... I have another problem, Mike.
What's your problem?
I've got a vet over here. We need some help over there to get deer tested.
So we can come back and feed later?
Yes. We're going to sell these deer. They're going to Alabama, and I kind of got to get this job done.
You're selling reindeer to Alabamians?
Yeah. I sold over 300 animals into 23 states. My business.
Where is the vet?
Over there at the squeeze chute.
Are you coming with?
Yes.
The squeeze chute? So their heads are going in, and we're going to hold them?
We're going to squeeze their body in to keep their heads sticking out.
We're going to squeeze the reindeer, keep their heads sticking out. It's going to be great.
This is our handling facility. They're just standing there waiting for us to put them through the chute so we can catch them and test them for diseases and draw blood and whatnot on them. And they've got weapons, but they're not dangerous. These are yearlings. They were born in April of 08. Mm-hmm. And on an average, they weighed about 10 to 15 pounds.
Jeez.
And they're quick.
Is this the part where you tell me they hate the color red?
Yeah, you know, that is right. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. The horns do appear sharp.
I would like to say that I've never been hurt by a reindeer or a horse.
I'd like to say that, too, but I'd be lying.
Yeah, me too. Let's go this way now.
Anytime you're perforated by anything, it's almost always a bad sign.
This is Patrick. He's a gate man, and he's going to hold the deer, and so we get just one at a time in the squeeze chute. There are 8 inches of foam on each side with this real coarse plastic here.
Gotcha. And that holds the deer. And you are?
Sabrina Holland. I'm the veterinarian that's working with the reindeer today.
And this is Larry here.
Was it?
Larry. What about it, Mike?
Where are you from?
Alabama.
Well, that's what I heard. A guy from Alabama. So you're the one buying the
deer? I'm buying some reindeer today.
Come on, man. What do you do with reindeer in Alabama? Really?
We help sign out.
Okay.
We exhibit them. We sign out.
You're just saying that because I'm dressed like a freaking elf.
Well, you look like an elf.
I'm having a day, Larry. I'll level with you. All right, so you're buying reindeer, and what are you looking for specifically in these reindeer?
Young ones that we can train. We hook them to the sleigh.
Fly.
Mike.
I'm trying to go with the metaphor.
Hey, you're going to see one fly today. I guarantee.
Sure. You'll fly right through me. All right, and S.H., specifically, you'll be doing what?
Yes, my job is to test the reindeer for brucellosis and tuberculosis to make sure that they can get their proper health paperwork to go to Alabama.
What are the odds of us actually getting one of these beasts in here for up close personal encounter?
Well, what we say is, we're ready.
Coming up, I discover a bad haircut can make a reindeer see red.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, geez.
Look out.
Then,
give her a jerk and see what happens.
I get a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
And a little speed.
To test drive a rare classic truck.
That's how we do it.
Here she comes.
Oh, geez.
You're ready. Oh. There you got her. Nope, not yet. Now we got her.
What do you do here, Tom, to make sure it stays there?
That? Whoa.
No. It's the other way, I think, right?
It's broken right now.
Oh, it's broken?
Yeah. Broken, yeah.
That does make it exciting.
Yeah. Last time I played with it, it down.
I just get near stuff and it breaks. All right, so that's number 866?
866.
What you doing? You taking blood?
I am.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta find it first. There we go.
Is that the jugular?
That's what we're hunting for here. There we go. Sometimes can be a little challenging because of all the hair and the way that they might tense their muscles up and close off the jugular vein.
Now, as far as drawing blood from an animal, how does a reindeer rate?
One is the most difficult and 10 is the easiest. It's probably a 3 or a 4.
Yeah.
Easy there, buddy. I'm so upset. This is the tuberculin. I'm going to draw up a 10th of a cc. We're going to inject in the hide.
Your fingers in his mouth, Larry?
Yep. Yes. You can control them with that bottom chin a little easier.
They got teeth in there?
Ooh, gristles. They're not too bad. You want to try?
No, but I will.
We good?
All right. I'll figure it out.
We'll see about having you draw blood. I think we're ready.
Okay.
We're ready.
Uh-oh. I haven't seen this move before.
All right. Good. Okay. Now, you
She's
can actually,
easy
if you want to look, you can see the jugular pulse right there where the hair is moving.
Yeah.
But really, the hair grows this direction, so really the jugular vein is up here. Okay? So put your finger just, your thumb just above mine and
right.
push,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll strum it. Can you feel it hitting your finger?
Yep.
Okay? So that means that now you know where it's at. So now you know that it's directly above your thumb, right? So just be real still there. Don't mm-hmm. move so I don't actually dentally stick you and draw blood from you.
Yep.
There we go. Pull it out. Let go. Done.
See that piece of cake?
Yeah.
And where's the blood going to go?
Blood is going to go in a tube to be tested for brucellosis.
That's right. You told me that before. Again, it's all part of my testing process. If I get the same answer twice, I know you're being honest.
Okay. And then we're going to take your clippers in your other pocket.
Oh, clippers.
Clippers. And we're going to clip a very small area, tie it right up next to the hide. There you go.
Okay.
Now we're going to take this tuberculin. Mm-hmm. And we're going to inject this. There you go. All done.
And off you go. All right, let's do another one.
It's got to watch your face that sometimes don't.
Come around with the antler and pull your eye out. Catch it right here and pull
it
around.
It would hurt.
Well, you don't want it up your nose either. Or get caught in your ear.
No.
Any body orifice.
Any orifice you typically want to keep the reindeer antler out of, yeah.
Yes.
Good.
Here, like this is...
Fly away.
Uh-oh.
Things didn't go well, Mike. Come here, baby.
Oh, there you go. Could I?
You want to catch this one, Mike?
I think so.
Okay, get him the big one.
Oh, geez.
Well, somebody has to reach in there and pull him out.
Who could we get?
You're doing pretty good there, Mike.
Don't itch.
Okay, a little help.
Itch. Oh, look out.
Perfect. Oh, jeez.
Look out. No, sorry. Whoa.
We're done? Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, big boy.
Thanks for your help, Mike.
No, are you kidding me? It's my pleasure. My pleasure. If I'm ever in Huntsville, I'll come looking for you. Good enough. I'm going to go feed the rest of these things now. I think that's where I left off. Right. So, Brett, you'll be assisting now in the second attempt to feed the reindeer.
Yeah. Give her a jerk and see what happens. Go time.
And a little speed. That's how we do it. I have to keep my foot on the gas. Don't stall.
All right, guys, let the fun commence.
I have 9 layers of clothes on. If I fall down, I'm like that kid in a Christmas story, man. I'll lay there like a slug. Oh.
Now we just take these and just do that number back here.
Yep.
Ain't got to be perfect.
Good.
Take one of these guys. And then we get to have fun with shovels.
This is the beer mash with the beer sucked out of it.
This is the spent grain, yeah.
What's the thought process about feeding an animal a kind of grain with no nutrients in it?
Well, it's more of a filler. These pellets, they hold all the nutrients that
we could just feed them sawdust.
Yeah, I don't know.
You got an iron, you got an aluminum shovel anyway.
I'll trade you.
Really? You want to?
You bet. I'll leave it. You go ahead and get started. Let me grab another shovel.
And you just shovel it in the back?
Yep.
Of course. No, Mike. I'll shovel it in the back. Put it in the cab. Do that. Or maybe put it in the gas tank. That'd be good. If I ask myself one more stupid question, I swear.
Coming up. They tell me feeding is the easy part.
Hello, reindeer.
Yeah, well, that's easy for them to say. Wrestling reindeer and shoveling beer byproducts into a beat-up truck while wearing an elf outfit. That's a new one.
And I'd say we're about ready for another layer.
Oh, the hay again? Yeah.
The layering of hay, beer mash, and nutrient pellets creates sort of a perfectly balanced reindeer lasagna.
All right, I think we got about as much as we're going to get out of this bad chicken.
Well, I'm no reindeer ranch expert, but it seems like the entire operation depends on popping the clutch to keep a beat-up truck going.
That's right.
Thanks, Jake.
All right.
All right, we got a lot going on right here. Doug has screwed this thing into the dash. And, Brett, I mean no offense, but I think this $400 camera is worth more than your whole truck.
I believe you're right.
All right, we also have a helicopter up there. Got a bird in the air. And we also got a couple of birds in the back squatting on the food. Think the reindeer ever see anything like this?
No.
I just want to feed them, man. Just tell me where to go next.
First gate. That's the one I'm going to go out.
And the goal is to get these reindeer running through the gate.
Just go out and kind of do a big loop.
You mean around them?
Right in front of them right here. That way they see the truck because they know it. One more loop around.
One more loop? Yep. Let it over serious?
Yep. And then head straight on through that gate into that next pen.
Now, what was the point of doing that?
Showing the reindeer we're out here.
All right.
Now they know to follow us.
If I'm a reindeer at this point, why am I following the lunatics in the truck?
Because we got the food.
Oh, of course.
If you want to eat, you better follow us.
They're not really following us, are they?
They took too direct of a route. Well, let's go ahead and feed out, and then we'll go chase them out here.
This little feeding ritual happens twice a day on the farm. Rain or shine, sleet or snow, the animals have to get fed.
It just got colder?
I think so. So now don't you want your own herd of reindeer?
All right, so one more pass back where we were. Are we still going to try and get them to follow us or get behind them and kind of...
Just kind of come up as close as you can to them and get them to follow us.
All right.
This is the deal.
Come on, reindeer.
Get right up close to him. They're just too scared.
Then I'll get behind him.
Yeah, that might work. At this point, it's worth a try.
Go on, get on!
Come on, reindeer!
No!
Like any other situation, when reason fails, the only thing left is running and jumping and yelling and screaming.
Holy crap! Oh, no, I stalled. Now we're screwed!
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah!
Yeah!
All right, man, you drive.
Oh, man!
Take your ridiculous sweatshirt. Might actually come in handy. Done a lot of ridiculous jobs last 5 years. This one's up there. Woo!
They don't want to cooperate with us.
I think I can get behind him. I got my magic red sweatshirt.
All right. We can do it.
Jones, maybe you should drive.
Jones isn't used to driving with his gear on. Or driving a garbage can with wheels that stalls a lot. Apparently, our pilot took pity on the pathetic sight he was witnessing below, decided to give us a hand.
Oh, he's good. He's very good. If I was one of those reindeer, I'd be crapping up the snow. Chopper pilot is money. He's carving them out of the herd, four or five at a time, running them into the pen. That's what we're talking about.
Got some of them. I think that's enough. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
But before you can say reindeer can fly, they escaped back into the field.
Hey, what happened?
They're all out there now.
Yeah. We lost them all.
So the deer we just rounded up just ran out.
Well, yeah. They just left.
Well, look, just so you know, this happens with us a lot, but this is the part of the day where suddenly...
Well, we left the gate open, I think, down there.
The gate was left open after all of the trouble. The reindeer, we got them in, and now they've run back out.
All of this effort was for want, because those deer went back and joined the herd again.
Because someone forgot to lock the gate.
That's correct.
Someone, and I'm not going to name names, Tom, but someone...
I heard you name Tom.
I'm not going to say, I'm not going to point anyone out, but, you know, the owner, the proprietor.
Yeah.
That guy.
Okay. He's the one who probably...
Yeah, the jury is not out on this particular case. The guilty party is in hand, and he is currently on the TV. So we have nothing to do now.
That's correct. There's a lonely moose looking to kiss you.
Did you get her name?
Yeah, Denny.
Apparently, Denny the Kissing Moose has a thing for showbiz types. He made a few moves on Troy, but Denny's not really into facial hair. Word gets around fast on the ranch, and even Dolly the Buffalo wanted in on the action. Then, when Denny the Moose heard there was a show host with a ripe banana, well,
hi, Denny.
It was all over.
This is Denny, huh?
Yeah.
How's it work? What do you do?
Put it in your mouth. He'll take it out of your mouth. See him come up like that? He'll come right up like that and take it out of your mouth.
And then I just hold still?
Yeah.
Will there be tongue involved?
No. Not unless it's going to lose your tongue. Here. Oh, there he says.
Is that dirty enough for you?
Oh, yeah. They always come back for more.
For God's sakes, man.
Call me.
All right, look, if this was ever a cue to say goodbye, this is goodbye. I'm going to thank you once again. I sincerely appreciate your hospitality.
Well, thank you. I'm pleased that you had the opportunity to come to Alaska and see how things can get really screwed up.
As evidenced by my lovely top.
Oh, I think that's a great shirt.
Can I keep it?
Maybe we need to arbitrate and mediate the price on this.
You know, I don't care how far north you go. A lawyer's a lawyer.
And a dirty jobs guy is really dirty.
Are you still talking?
About you, sir.
This is my show. Beat it.
Well, it's my farm. Why don't you beat it?
I'm grunting for worms. It's true. It's a way to get worms to the surface. Sell them for bait. Crazy job, but it's real. Know how I know about it? Fella wrote in. Said, hey, Mike, you want to grunt for some worms? I said, sure. Next thing you know, I'm driving a stake into the ground, pulling a piece of iron over the top, vibrating worms to the surface of the earth. How weird is that? Discovery.com/dirty jobs. You got something that's this weird? I'd like to know about it. Discovery.com/dirty jobs.
Cowboy handled cows, right?
Yes.
So you're a deer boy. You handle deer now.
I'm a deer boy.
That's right.